This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. Today, our guest is Hans Plate, who is the founder and president of Vinea Research. We're going to be talking with him today about an interesting study that Vinea has done about the Eucharist and specifically about Catholic belief in the real presence. Hans did a lot of work in market research in industry-leading companies, but then felt moved to kind of combine that interest in market research expertise with his Catholic beliefs. He heads a team at Vinea Research to provide high-caliber, action-oriented market research to parishes, church leadership, apostolates, and advocacy groups. Hans and his wife and children live in Forest Hill, Maryland, where they attend sometimes St. Ignatius in Hickory and sometimes St. Mark's in Falston. Welcome to the show, Hans.
Thank you, Chris. Great to be here.
So first of all, tell me a little bit about how you made that switch or how you wanted to make that enhancement from market research for corporate companies to market research for Catholic entities.
A while ago, I guess early 2000s, I was discerning the diaconate. And so I approached Father Jim Barker at St. Ignatius, who I'd known obviously just from being in the parish. And he suggested joining the RCIA team. And so I did. And after the folks came into the church at Easter, we continued to meet. And at one point we talked about time, talent, and treasure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so time, easy, volunteering, treasure, also easy, donating. I was really struck because I never thought about the talent part. And so I think a seed was planted at that time to think about, well, how can I contribute, what I do for professionally for the service of the church? And so ultimately that led to the idea of forming a market research company that served Catholic organizations, because at its core, market research is simply about understanding an audience well so that you can better serve them, right? And so, in the commercial world, you serve them through products or services or, trying to change their mind on a perspective. But it's no different in the Catholic world, right? So I thought we could take the same approaches that we use in the business and strategic world and apply it to Catholic organizations. And here we are 10 years later with the Vinea Research.
Mm-hmm. Now, your research that you recently conducted on belief in the real presence came up with a little bit different, a lot different interpretation or results than some of the studies we've heard. As we've been approaching the National Eucharistic Revival, the upcoming National Eucharistic Congress, we've heard over and over that maybe a quarter to a third of Catholics believe in the real presence of Christ, based on surveys that have been put out by Pew Research or CARA, which is the Center for the Applied Research in the Apostolate, out of Georgetown University. What did your study find that differs from what Pew and CARA have been reporting?
Well, so CARA actually did an update to their study late last year, I believe, and they came up with their figure was that 64% of Catholics believe in the real presence, which is significantly higher than what Pew was reporting at 34%.
Right.
And by the way, I'm thinking about or talking specifically about mass attending Catholics.
Okay.
So Pew's overall figure was 31% of all Catholics, but then if you look at those who attend at least once or twice a year, so they have some connection to the church, that figure is 34%. And I think the reason for the difference just really comes down to language used. So when I first saw the study from Pew in 2019, I was struck by the lack of familiarity with the language they were using to describe the transubstantiation or the real presence, right? The phrase they used was it actually become, the bread and wine actually become the body and blood. And so, our curiosity was piqued internally to think, well, what if it had been phrased in a way that Catholics are familiar and actually maybe a little bit more consistent with what is in the catechism? There's a document that the USCCB put out around the Eucharist, And they all use the phrase either real presence or truly present, mm-hmm. which is very different from just feels different than actually becomes, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a mystery and these words matter. And so anyway, that's what piqued our curiosity initially. And so we basically ran an experiment where we had a study that we were fielding that was had a large sample size, a little over 2,200 Catholics. Mm-hmm. And we split it in half, and we had half of the respondents see the pew wording of the survey, and then the other half see an updated wording of the survey. Mm-hmm. And so there, you know, so it's somewhat unfair to compare our study to Pew's directly because the sample sources were different. I think probably how we weighted the results was different. Mm-hmm. But I think it is fair for me to look at the two arms of our study, you know, the Pew language and our language, and compare those, because there everything is much more aligned in terms of the sample source, the demographics, the weighting, et cetera.
Right. And so in your study, what did you find in the difference between those two groups, those who got the Pew wording, those who got your Vinia's wording?
Yes. So in our study, using Pew's language, we came up with 41% of Catholics believe in the real presence,
which is still higher than Pew had,
which is a little bit higher than 34, but it's still in that ballpark. Right.
Right.
When we used updated language, the result was that 69% of Catholics believed in the real presence, which is significantly higher. I mean, I was expecting to see some difference, of course, but I didn't expect it of this magnitude.
Does this bode well then for the task ahead of the U.S. bishops and priests and those who teach catechism everywhere, that maybe things aren't as dire as we've been led to believe?
Yeah. I think a more in-depth study needs to be done to really understand that, because it was just two questions that we asked. But there are a couple of inferences we can make to answer your question. The one is that there is still an element of need for greater catechesis around the Eucharist, right? And for people to feel the desire and the love and understand the Eucharist. And two data points I'll point to for that conclusion. One is, in our study, we found that 51% of people who go to Mass once or twice a year, so very infrequently, they believe in the real presence, right? Well, that's great that they believe, but they're not going to Mass, right? I mean, once or twice a year.
If they really believed, they'd be at Mass.
They really believed, right. So we didn't ask in this study anything around the depth of belief, right? So that's a concerning data point.
Sure.
The other is, even with Pew's language, and let's say it's wrong, even though it's not, I don't know that technically it's wrong, right? But let's just say it's off.
Right.
People were still given the choice of selecting actually becomes or is a symbol.
Right.
And majority chose it's a symbol, right? And so again, that speaks to the need for further catechesis. The hope, I think, is the fact that when you present them with these options, at least the updated version, 51% of Catholics that don't go to Mass a lot do believe in the real presence. So there's a link, right? There's something that still resonates with them that they chose not to select the symbol option, which I think is the hopeful part of this, right? I mean,
right.
I think work needs to be done, but they've at least got that link, right? At least half of them, right, have that belief in the real presence. And I think it's 64% for Catholics who go to Mass more than once or twice a year, but less than monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, two thirds.
Is there a problem with, in a survey like this, just simply giving an either or, not giving a you know, three different levels or four different levels, or, you know, none of the above? Is there a problem when Pew or Vinia ask just one, this or that?
Yes, I really do. I mean, I really do believe that, because it's a nuanced topic. There's more than one dimension of belief in this, right? As we've just discussed, right? They believe, right, but they don't really believe enough to come to Mass. And so my purpose wasn't wholly to, or solely to understand, you know, Eucharistic belief. It was really to make the point that actually becomes is perhaps the wrong way of framing the question. And there are better ways of framing it. But we still, I think I have on my conclusions page, the point that this is such a nuanced topic, it really is an injustice to ask one question that has two response options.
Yes. Okay.
I think more depth is certainly needed in this. And actually, I have a survey that we're working on fielding very shortly that will hopefully get into it a little bit. It's not the main topic, right? And so yes, I agree with you though. It's not well suited to a two question or two response survey.
Yeah, and certainly if you want to stick with the word with the wording actually becomes, you have to kind of add that phrase, but remains in the appearance of bread and wine, because that is the essence. If you ask somebody on a survey, does this bread and wine actually become body and blood? Well, they may get a little bit squeamish about that. But if it becomes body and blood, remaining under the appearance of bread and wine, that may be something that somebody says, well, yeah, I believe that. So it sounds like there's even some ways to get at that. And then you figure out what the catechesis needs to look like. Isn't it work kind of that way?
Yes, I agree. And so I was running a very specific example or experiment where I wanted to compare actually becomes to truly present. And so when you're running an experiment, you want to minimize the number of changes you make.
Correct. Okay. Right.
So that's one change I obviously had to make. I actually had to make a second change, which was their response options were actually becomes or is a symbol. Mm-hmm. But I think technically it is a symbol, though it's not merely a symbol, right? Or a sign.
Right.
So and the bishops in the USCCB document, they use the phrase the bread and wine are not merely symbols, indicating that it does have a symbolic component to it.
Sure.
So I didn't feel like their response options, in short, it were mutually exclusive.
Right.
And so I needed to make them mutually exclusive. So I changed my symbol response option to is a symbol, but Jesus is naturally present.
Right.
Okay. The third change we debated making, we ended up not making, which is adding the phrase under the appearance of, right?
Right.
So Jesus is truly present under the appearance of bread and wine. The phrasing we use was truly present in the bread and wine, which is not perfect, but we felt that from the Catholics would understand what it is that we're getting at there, and that it's clearly distinct from actually becomes. And so I would self-criticize, and again, I think I noted this in the report, but it's still not perfect.
Right.
And so yeah, actually becomes is just, it's almost too graphic. You know what I mean? It's almost too graphic. And so that was the challenge we had with it.
Yeah. And in fact, one of the priests who is leading one of the pilgrimages that will converge on Indianapolis said that Jesus, out of respect for us, so that we're not wigged out, doesn't actually be, the bread and wine don't actually become his flesh and blood, but they remain in the appearance of the bread and wine. Because he knows we could get really wigged out by that. So it's an interesting thing. Well, we are talking today with Hans Plate, who is the founder and president of Vinya Research, about an interesting study that they did that reflected on how Catholics, especially Catholics who attend Mass, view the real presence of the Eucharist. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Days after they gathered for their annual spring meeting, the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference has laid off an unspecified number of employees as part of the reorganization of a key department that promotes Catholic social teaching at home and abroad. On June 24th, staff were notified of changes to the structure of the Department of Justice, Peace, and Human Development, according to Chaco Noguchi, Executive Director of Public Affairs for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, in a June 26 statement provided to OSV News. According to the USCCB website, the department consists of nearly 30 staff employees, two committees of bishops, and one bishop subcommittee. The department's activities span poverty relief, advocacy, education, social development, anti-racism efforts, and environmental justice. In a statement, Noguchi said the reorganization will allow the USCCB to align resources more closely with recent funding trends. Sadly, she said, this includes a loss of jobs for several staff members. She did not elaborate on the exact number of cuts. Religion News Service reported that the department's staffing could be cut by half. Among those impacted by the staff cuts are employees working for the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, the USCCB's official anti-poverty initiative, which was founded in 1969 as the National Catholic Crusade Against Poverty. To date, CCHD has awarded $440 million to almost 12,000 community organizations working to end the root causes of poverty in the United States. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm George Matisek.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. This is Chris Dente of the Catholic Review, and we are talking with Hans Plate, founder and president of Vinya Research, about some results of a study that they just did that talks about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Hans, when you look at these results, what do you see hope in that?
Yes, there's I see two areas of hope. One we've talked about briefly, which is the fact that even those who don't attend Mass often do see that, do believe in the real presence, right? 51% mm-hmm. of those who attend Mass very infrequently, 64% of those who attend Mass somewhat infrequently. The other thing that is in a supplement that we're working on to this report is that few Catholics are actively rejecting church teaching on transubstantiation, or at least they don't think they are. And because really there were two questions that Pew asked and two that we asked. The first is, what does a Catholic church teach on the subject? And the second is, regardless of what it teaches, what's your personal belief? We've been focusing on the personal belief questions. But when you look at the alignment between what they believe the church teaches and what they personally believe, greater than 80% of all Catholics personally believe what they think the church teaches. So there are a number of Catholics, maybe a quarter, maybe a little bit more, who believe the church teaches that it is a symbol, right? And that Jesus isn't truly present. And that, and, you know, greater than 80% believe that themselves. You know what I mean?
Right.
And vice versa, right? Those who believe that the church teaches about the real presence also are much more likely to hold that belief. So fewer actively rejecting, thankfully, right?
Right.
But few Catholic mass attending Catholics are actively rejecting the church's teaching on this. It just means that, again, further catechesis is needed to get them to understand it properly, especially those people who believe the church teaches it's a symbol, but then understand the depth of it, right? And have it be more than head knowledge, but heart knowledge, and then active knowledge, right, that gets in the church.
As somebody who spent some time working with RCIA, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, in your parish, when people came looking for, you know, how to join the church, what the church teaches, does this work with my life, my spirituality, did they come with an understanding of the church's teaching on the Eucharist, or were they even farther behind this?
No, it was a mix, of course, as you would expect, but a fair amount had sufficient knowledge to really, I mean, those were some of the more interesting discussions, right, where they had all sorts of questions. They had, I won't say biases, but they just had questions, I guess, and right. personal beliefs and misinformation, perhaps, of what it is that they were consuming or would be consuming if they came into the church. But they had some sort of knowledge as to that, because that's a major difference. A lot of the people in RCIA were in other faiths,
right?
And so this is a major area of divergence between Catholics and other Christian faiths.
And I have heard, and this is kind of anecdotally, I'm not a researcher like you are, but as people come from other, especially from other Christian denominations,
right,
into the Catholic faith, they do so because of the realization that they figure out the Catholic Church is teaching that this is truly Christ. The church I've been going to says this is a symbol of Jesus. And they come to the realization that I want to be in the place that believes this is really him, because that's what the scripture says. You know, Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood. And they start thinking, well, why do I believe it's just a symbol if Jesus says it's himself? So they find themselves in the church because of the fullness of the teaching that is there. Is that something you came across?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's there in scriptures, and there are a lot of conversations or talks that have been given on the subject where it's pretty evident that while it seems very foreign, the evidence for it is pretty clear. And I've had a couple mention that a talk that I personally really enjoyed, which was one given by Scott Hahn on the fourth cup, right, where you really get into a little bit of the nuance of the Last Supper and how it's fulfilled, and it's just a great talk for the more technically oriented people, which, you know, I know some of them as well. So yeah, no, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. And I also heard a priest giving a talk one time, and he talked about the fact that, you know, we say this is bread and wine, but it's an unleavened little disc of bread. And he said, sometimes it takes more faith to believe that that's bread than to believe that it's the body and blood of Jesus. So you kind of get both sides there. When you look at this and you look at what your results have done, especially as compared to Pew and others, how do you think the church should approach doing more research on this so that some of that is more correct or better, maybe not more correct, but better able to be understood, mm-hmm. and then take action?
At least based on what I'm able to see is publicly available, I think we need to be asking more of these questions. And actually, we're working on a proposal to do a project. We're calling it root cause research. Like, what's the root cause for people staying, and what's the root cause for people living? It seems like a lot of the research that's done today is like really at the surface level, right? Even this real presence question, right. It's really just a question, right? And even we ask just the question. And when I'm going to insert some of this in my kerygma survey, it's going to be maybe five questions, right? That's really not enough to obtain an understanding of, you know, of this. And so we need to really dig deep in research by using both quantitative methods like an online survey would provide, although I think we can do better with the analytics behind it that we use in the strategic world, but then also qualitative research, which is interviewing people and, you know, having more in-depth discussions around what they truly believe. And then almost, so in the commercial world, if you have a new product idea or service idea, there are lots of different ways to communicate about that particular product or service. And so what they'll do is they'll develop these different ways, and then we'll talk to potential end consumers of their product or service, and we'll ask them, we'll basically test. So what are your thoughts on this? What does it convey, communicate? How do you feel emotionally about this? And try to look for the way that resonates the best. I think in a similar way, we can maybe not look, basically use the same technique or approach, which is like, look, there are different ways to talk about this particular teaching. Which one is most helpful to you? You know, what are your barriers today? And then which one of these addresses that barrier? And if we can equip catechists and just lay people with an understanding of, look, if you're at the soccer field and someone mentions the real presence and they talk about this, or they talk about Mary, and, you know, this is how you could respond. I think that's something powerful that research can help inform. Right, it's not going to give you research. Isn't going to give you the answer, but it will certainly help inform, like how you proceed in those conversations, and or how you catechize a particular population.
For those folks who are more interested in this project, where can they go to get access to the full report?
So our website is viniaresearch.com, and Vinia is V-I-N-E-A, and there's a report menu tab at the very top, where you can get this report and then sign up to receive, you know, be part of the mailing list for the report that we do next on the kerygma, which will come out sometime in the fall. And there are some past reports that we've done as well. Not all of our reports are up there, because if we do work for an apostolate, let's say FOCUS, right, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, those results are theirs, right? Right. And they hold on to them. And sometimes they're internally oriented. It doesn't make sense to share them. But some of our public reports, or all of our public reports, are up there as well.
What's next for Vinia Research?
This kerygma survey that I've been mentioning. So basically what we're doing there is we take the components of the kerygma, and we're measuring the extent to which people believe and behave in accordance with those charismatic components. We don't use the word charisma, by the way, at the survey at all. And so we're asking some interesting questions. A lot of the focus today in the church in the U.S. is around evangelizing, missionary discipleship.
Right.
And, we know that that's a struggle among lay Catholics. And so one of the questions we have is like, what is most keeping you from doing that yourself? Is it just being self-conscious about it? The culture, is it not feeling confident in your abilities, or is it just not knowing how, right? I mean, like we right. haven't really been taught how to do that.
Right.
And so there are some interesting topics that we're hitting on in that particular survey that, and I have a couple of different partners I'm working with as well, that, like I said, we'll do our analysis this summer and then hopefully release the results in the fall.
Well, then we're going to want to talk to you in the fall and get some of the results of that. Well, we have been talking today with Hans Plate, founder and president of Vinya Research, about a new survey that they've done that addressed the question of Catholic belief in the real presence. Thank you so much for being with us today, Hans.
Thank you so much, Chris. It was a pleasure.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you have been listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM, also WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area, and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.